Okay, let's start this What's Current podcast today. We're here at the Napier head office at Mansfield. I'm your host, Andrew Duffin. I'm the technical commercial engineer at Napier, and I'm joined by Nigel Richardson, who is our external affairs manager at Napier. How are you, Nigel? How are you today?
Hi, Andy. Yeah, I'm good. Thanks, you.
Yeah, very well. Very well. Recovering from a bit of a virus. I think everyone is in the country, but slowly getting over it. So I'm going to start the podcast, Nigel. If you could just tell us a bit about your role at Napier with external affairs and what your day-to-day duties are. What do you do?
Yeah, no problem. So I've been at Napier just over 6 months now. My background, I'm getting on a bit, so I've had a long and distinguished career.
You don't look it.
Long and distinguished career in all sorts of places. So I started out as a local newspaper journalist, moved into PR and comms. So I worked in local authorities, did a stint in national government, and I'll get this in early because it's a standing joke with people I used to work with that we all did a stint at 10 Downing Street. So that's the standing joke, is to see how quickly you can mention working at 10 Downing Street. So that was really, really good and really useful for sort of what followed in my career. I've done stints in organisations connected with energy, and then recently I worked for one of the big broadband and mobile companies, so a sort of big corporate company. My role here at Napier, I look after the external comms, so a lot of the sort of press stuff that goes out to the trade press and goes out on our website, and then a lot of it is around engaging with politicians and external stakeholders. So that could be anything from sort of monitoring what's being said about various issues, contacting MPs when they raise questions in the House that's relevant to Napier, submitting responses to relevant consultations from government departments and select committees, and really just trying to get the Napier name out there in and amongst politicians and policymakers. So,
and are you finding that difficult, or were they aware of Napier? Is it something that, like, who are Napier, or is it something they was like, we know Napier?
It can be a challenge, but I think one of the main reasons for the challenge is there's been so much change politically over the last 6 months. So I started at Napier on the Monday, as the general election was on the Thursday. So it's quite interesting, because as I meet people, I sort of say to them, you know, I'm tracking what they're doing in and around Parliament with real interest, because I sort of look at what I hope to achieve in the 6 months' time and what they've achieved, and I think, if I'm honest, I've probably achieved a bit more than they have.
Oh, okay, yeah. Good to know.
There's 650 odd MPs, and I think there were over 350 brand new MPs elected at the last election. So one of the challenges has been trying to find out what their interests are. So, you know, you're going to have certain MPs who've got certain interests. So it might be that, you know, they worked in a certain sector previously. They may have an interest in electrical safety. They may have an interest in the house building agenda. But because of the way the election, or the timing of the election happened, you had all these new people coming in, they had to get new offices, new staff, they immediately broke up for the summer recess. So they all disappeared back to the constituencies. They came back for a couple of weeks, and then it was the conference recess, so they all went off to the party conferences. So it took them a while to actually get up to speed with how things work.
Yeah, get their feet underneath the table, to speak.
And it's, you know, imagine, you know, trying to, I've been lucky enough to sort of spend some time in and around Parliament, and it's an absolute maze. So trying to, you know, I can't imagine what it must be like to go in there and work there on a daily basis. So they're trying to navigate that. They had to get, as I say, staff in place, offices down in London, offices back in their constituency. So that's been, I think, the main challenge, has been just trying to find out what their interests are. I think we're now, from the start of this year, that's been a little bit easier. So they've started there's been a few more questions, and the parliamentary select committees have been set up. So they are set up to scrutinise government policy.
Yeah.
So there's a select committee for energy and energy net zero. There's a one for housing. So there's quite a few things are coming out of that that are relevant to NAPIT. So it gives us something to go to.
And I guess that's quite positive for NAPIT and its members as well, having those.
Yeah, absolutely. And the whole, I guess the whole sort of point of my job in and around that political arena is one, to sort of, you know, promote NAPIT and its members and the brand, and sort of, you know, make sure that people are aware of us. And also to highlight the opportunities that our members bring to the house building agenda, the net zero agenda.
Of course.
And also highlight areas where, you know, feedback from industry that they may not be aware of. So some of the challenges that are faced, so some of the challenges around the skills agenda.
Yeah.
Some of the challenges around the, you know, if you want to build a load of new houses, great, it provides opportunities, but make sure it's fitting with the right
you sort of touched on my next sort of question with, like, with upcoming political changes and potential shifts in government policies. The new government's been in for about 6 months. What key or related changes or updates should our members or electricians or contractors be aware of? What's coming up?
Okay, so I think there's probably two things to that. So as a member, as a business owner, or as a contractor who pays their wages or, you know, earn their wages, they're going to be interested in everything that affects everybody else. So, you know, taxes, national insurance rates, price of fuel at the pumps, all that sort of stuff. So that is something that's obviously in the news quite a lot. Specifically to the industry, I think, Labour was elected on, it had what it called five key missions. And there's probably three of those that are really relevant to NAPIT and its members. So one was around kickstarting economic growth and what they called Get Britain Building.
Yes.
And that's the one part of that is they announced plans to build 1.5 million new homes in this parliament.
So that's over 5 years.
Yeah, so 4.5 years now.
It's about roughly over 300,000 houses per year, give or take.
Yeah, so a huge challenge.
That is.
But also a huge opportunity.
Yes.
Because obviously, you know, all those new homes require electrical connections. The other one of their sort of main missions was around positioning the UK as what they call a clean energy superpower, and accelerating the transition to net zero.
Yeah.
Which
correct me wrong, sorry to interrupt you on that. Is it Great Britain Power or something? Is that they have their own, like, national power? Is that correct?
Yeah, there's an organisation set up, I think it's called GB Energy.
GB Energy
is going to look at some of the sort of big infrastructure projects and you know, look at more on the power, the power generation side.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talk about taking action to get the distribution networks in. So if you get all these sort of renewables, large scale renewable schemes, you need the wires to transmit it to the right places.
How we generate our own electricity,
so
we can be a bit more energy independent.
That's right.
We're getting our energy from overseas or wherever we may have to get it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the other thing that they're looking at, or they're talking about as part of this clean energy mission, is accelerating the transition to net zero.
Mm-hmm.
So again, as a NAPIT member, there are opportunities around installations of heat pumps, EV chargers, solar PV, battery storage, all those different technologies that the government is keen to.
Yeah, so they want the homeowner to be more renewable themselves, again, more energy independent, that produce their own energy in a way, or
absolutely,
or less energy through, like, the heat pumps.
Yeah, I think in terms of the home, they're looking at, you know, there's been quite a lot around decarbonising in the power sector, so there's no coal mines anymore, yes. And there's a lot more, offshore renewables, onshore renewables generating electricity. There's been action around decarbonising transport, so you see a lot more EVs on the roads than you did, a couple of years ago.
I mean, I think about delivery drivers now, a lot of their vans are EV as well, aren't they? So the opportunity there is that their warehouses have charge points as well, isn't it, for their vans?
Yeah, and a lot, I mean, where I used to work, a lot of the guys who were doing the broadband installs, they've now got electric EVs, so they will take them home. So there's opportunities to put charges, if they've got off-street parking, to put charges on driveways and things. So there's a lot of opportunities coming out of this. And then the third mission that they talked about was breaking down barriers to opportunity through education and skills.
Okay, so what does that mean then for us?
It's a bit of a mouthful.
Yeah.
what it means for us at NABIT, I think, is we can go to government and talk about the training that we can provide for our members. So we can provide training for a lot of those technologies I've just mentioned. But it also, there's a lot of emphasis at the moment around what they call the green skills gap. So again, going back to those numbers, there's some big numbers out there, 1.5 million new homes.
Yeah.
There's a target to fit 600,000 heat pumps a year.
Wow.
There's targets for vehicle manufacturers to have a certain percentage of electric vehicles, so you can have more EVs on the road. So, as I say, a lot of opportunities, and we're keen to stress to government the growth opportunity, but you need that training.
It's upskilling, isn't it, the workforce?
Absolutely.
So they can actually go and install this equipment that we've talked about, and NABIT provides that training. A lot of our members may have the training or may need the training.
Absolutely. And I think, part of it, as I say, is the there's a lot of talk about, and I'm going to get a bit politically geeky now.
geek away, it's fine.
There's a lot of talk about the messaging that comes out of government around these issues. So for a long time, people have talked about what they call the energy trilemma. I don't know if you've heard of the energy trilemma.
I haven't. That's another mouthful, isn't it?
So it's a good one to drop in.
Yeah.
The energy trilemma. And that talked about having an energy system that was sustainable, secure, and affordable. So if you think about the sustainability angle, that's the net zero and the climate change issue. The energy security is what you mentioned earlier about homegrown power and not relying on Russian oil and gas all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And then the affordability is what it means for consumers.
Is that the hope that by having our own independent grid and energy that we're producing, our bills should eventually be cheaper?
Is that the hope? That's the hope.
Yeah,
that's the hope. I think it will take a bit of time, but that's the hope, is that the bills will come down. But I think, interestingly, the shift from politicians recently has been a move away from the sort of, nice green stuff and saving the planet, which is obviously important, but more about the growth opportunities. So that you will hear them talking about growth all the time. And as I say, that's one thing I'm very keen to stress to government is, we've got over 20,000 members.
Mm-hmm.
They will be a key part of
that growth
and that transition.
They'll be the workforce in essence.
And you need those people to fit that technology to then make the prices come down and make it more affordable.
Yes.
So.
Is there grants for training opportunities, for upskilling for members? Is that something available out there?
Yeah, there are. So there are grants available for consumers to install some of this technology. So the government, I think they recently extended things like the heat pump grant, so the boiler upgrade scheme. Householders can get £7,500 towards the cost of installing a heat pump. There is the heat training grant for installers, so I think that's £500 towards a training course for installers.
Yeah, because the courses are not cheap. A lot of the members would have to have some time away from maybe their work to upskill themselves. Obviously,
absolutely. Yeah.
Obviously, that they hopefully get more work from upskilling themselves, but they're still going to have to outlay the course and maybe have some time off work to do the course. So these grants for both the consumer and the installer are vital for this to happen.
And the other thing is, it's a little bit chicken and egg. So we're talking about the opportunities, we're talking about the workforce that they will need to put this technology in. But it also needs to be a pipeline of work available for our members to be able to go, do you know what, I'll upskill in a certain area and take advantage of those opportunities.
Yes.
So again, it's trying to, part of my job is trying to highlight to government, can we have some consistency around the targets and the, the incentives and what it will be like, is needed to sort of encourage people to take advantage of what is out there.
Yeah, I think you've sort of covered the next question really that we was going to talk about how does NAPIET engage with policymakers to ensure electrical industry's voice is heard, and what's the biggest challenges that policy face? So if you could touch on that a little bit. I think you covered it a little bit.
Yeah, so there's a lot of, again, it's quite, it's, there's a lot of sort of political nerdery involved. So I sort of track what MPs are saying and what questions they ask in the House. So, they are able to ask questions of government departments. So they'll quite often ask about what's being done around things like the Warm Homes Plan, which was the government announced sort of back of last year, things around what they're doing to encourage heat pump uptake. They will take part in debates. So again, if there's a relevant question or they talk about relevant things in debates, we will contact them. I'll contact them beforehand, offer them a bit of a briefing, offer them information on what NAPIET does and how our members can help in that transition.
So you're in essence like our voice in politics. Well, our members' voice in politics, really.
That's
sort of what you're talking about there.
Yeah, and it's, as I say, it's really just trying to get the message across to politicians and policymakers that there is a pool of skilled people out there.
Yes.
That is needed for this transition.
Yes, for this growth to happen.
Yeah.
Like we've talked about, that workforce is required, and NAPIET have got a lot of members. As we've just talked about, 20,000 members, and they're going to be key in that infrastructure.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that we're keen to stress as well. You said some of the biggest challenges is two of the government's key missions that I mentioned earlier are coming out of different departments. So you've got the housing department is responsible for the 1.5 million new homes. As I say, opportunity there. You've got the Department for Energy Security and Net Zero is responsible for the climate change and the net zero transition. So what we're keen to stress and keen to point out to government is, if you're going to build all these new homes, make sure that they are built to the appropriate standards and have solar PV and heat pumps and facilities for EV chargers and things, because it makes economic sense. It's cheaper to do it when you're building a house.
Yeah.
And it's less disruptive than if you go back to the house.
Retrofitting, it's a lot more difficult when you've got a new build. You've got the open plan, haven't you?
Yeah.
There's no reason why you couldn't put it in place.
Absolutely. So it's easier, it's cheaper, it's less disruptive. And it makes sense. Do it first thing. So there is some government legislation that we're expecting. Some announcement, they talk about the spring, which is very vague in government terms. Spring can be sort of pretty much February to June. So they talk about...
I noticed with politics, they don't like to set a deadline, do they?
No, there's no dates. No, don't put a firm date on things. Well, there's something called the Future Home Standard, and that is due to basically legislate on what will go in to new homes being built.
So the bare minimum, so to speak, what would be included in a new group house.
Yeah.
Right, okay, makes sense.
And that could include things that have been talked about previously are there won't be a gas supply, so there will have to be electric heating. So,
okay.
You know, heat pumps or other forms of electric heating, there'll have to be solar panels, there'll have to be provision for EV chargers.
Yeah, I thought, I might be totally wrong, I thought new build houses had to wire an EV charge point, not like fit the point, but have it wired in all new builds. But I'm not sure if they do. But now you say no.
Yeah, but I think this will take it. That's that next step.
Yeah.
Forward, but it's again
to have the wiring in place. You may not have to have the charger on the outside, but to have the wire in place. In the future, if you did want to have a EV charge point, that's it. It's all it is. Then it's connecting the cable into the point, and it's a lot quicker and smoother.
It's a lot easier and it's a lot cheaper, and you know that's what householders want.
Yeah,
they want. They
it's about future proofing the house, isn't it? For the eventualities that we've just talked about. And you mentioned that there's two. What was the word that you used? Government, the energy and the new build housing.
Two departments.
And do you find from your experience in politics that the departments work well together at the same government, or do they have a history of not getting on, not working cohesively?
Do you want a diplomatic answer or a truthful answer?
I'll leave that to you on that one.
I think it's a common criticism of, I would say, probably any government of any political background from any form of stakeholder who's looking at what governments are doing.
Yeah.
So you will always have, I think, tension between different departments.
Yeah.
And I think the role of organisations like NAPIT is to tactfully point out that if they work together a little bit more closely,
these goals that they've set are more achievable.
And you know, we've done that through, we've sort of responded to some announcements, some government announcements, and we've welcomed them from NAPIT. We've done press releases, we've done social media activity saying, this is great, you know, great opportunity for our members, but you should go further. So if you, you know, go back to the new builds, you're building all these new houses, make sure that they are...
They've got the heat pumps.
...kitted out with heat pumps.
Solar, it does make sense. But let's hope, fingers crossed, maybe you can't see that for the audio listeners, but this happens. Because the growth word is a key word, isn't it?
Yeah.
On there. So again, we have talked about net zero, but we'll talk about it a little bit more. So the push for net zero and green energy solutions is gaining real momentum now. What role does the electrical industry play in this transition, and how does it politically help decisions in the shaping of the future? Was that through what you mentioned about the future homes scheme?
Yeah, so I think. As I said earlier, the there is this push for net zero and green energy solutions and the transition away from fossil fuels, whether it's petrol and diesel cars or gas powered heating in homes.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of external influences at the moment. So you've got President Trump pulling out of the Paris Climate Agreement.
Yes.
You know, he's threatening to, what is it, he calls it drill baby drill, so he wants to go all out.
Tariff was another word he likes using, doesn't he? So.
You've got, you know, there's a lot of, I think, opposition to net zero from certain politicians on you know.
Is that just the general cost of achieving net zero that would be to achieve? Because there's a lot of infrastructure needed for net zero, and the cost of putting that infrastructure in is going to be quite high, isn't it?
I think some of it is, you know, just ideological. They just don't believe in it. I think some of it is they don't necessarily know what's involved. So there's a lot of myths around. Some of the net zero, you know, some of the net zero technologies. So. I'm an EV driver. I've driven an EV for the last 3-4 years, and I still get people coming up to me and say, "Well, when you get one that can travel 600 miles without recharging or refilling, come back to me." And you think, "Well, they now do, you know, 250, 350 miles. Yeah. I need to stop anyway after two and a half hours drive.
I was going to say, most petrol diesel cars can't do 700 miles or whatever it is.
So there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of myths out there that I think politicians and some of the media are quite keen to spread. But I think the, you know, the electrical industry, as I say, is key, is at the heart of a lot of this change. So, you know, if we're moving away from petrol and diesel cars, so at the moment it's electrification, so you're going to need EV charge points.
Yeah.
We're moving away from gas heating and cooking in homes. What's the alternative? Well, it's heat pumps or, you know, other forms of electrical heating. So again, there's a, you know, there's a lot happening, and as I say, I think that, you know, our industry is at the forefront of that change.
I think you're right there. I always look at it as like the first mobile phone, and maybe some of our younger listeners may not have realised, but the first mobile phone was incredibly large.
Yeah,
you had to have a battery that you might wind up and plug in, and now we've got a phone that's a laptop computer in one, and that's probably the 80s when the first sort of mobile phones were out. And now we're 40 odd years in, and look where we are. So we're at this first stage of our renewable green technology, and it's a technology.
Yeah.
And you think this is at our first stage? No, in 40 years' time, what's the technology going to be like?
Yeah.
You know, it's only going to be better.
Absolutely.
You know, I think it's exciting times to be involved as an electrician in that industry.
Yeah.
With the growth that we've talked
about
today.
I think you know, you talk about going back in time to you know, the '80s,
the good old days.
I remember them well. But I think, you know, looking forward, you look at some of the targets that have been set around the transition to clean energy and net zero and the climate change targets, and some of those targets now are 2030 targets.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, hang on, we're 2025. That's 5 years away. It's nothing.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's
getting closer, isn't it? It's not getting further away, it's getting closer, isn't it?
So, you know, for a lot of those technologies to be installed at scale, again, we're going to need a lot of qualified, competent, skilled electricians who are capable of doing that.
Yeah, we've touched on to our next question, and looking ahead, what political and industrial development should NAIP members be prepared for? And how can they best stay informed and be proactive?
Yeah, so I think I'd probably summarise what we've been saying earlier on. So new homes. So, you know, there's opportunities for new homes being built across the country. Big numbers, 1.5 million.
It's a scary number, isn't it?
Serious number.
I mean, I'm putting the spot here, but do you ever know how many houses have been built in a calendar year? What's a?
I know it's a hell of a lot less than that.
Yeah, well, it's going to be real hard to achieve, isn't it? I think. It's unachievable, but.
I mean, I think the government's looking at changing some of the planning regimes and you know, some of the things to try and make it easier to get those homes built in the areas where they need them.
And we need them built for the housing market as well, because it's so hard to get on the housing ladder at the moment as well.
Yeah, and they need to be affordable.
Yes.
And they need to be comfortable.
Yeah.
And they need to be
fit for purpose.
Energy efficient, so people aren't paying money out on you know,
electricity bills.
Electricity bills,
of course.
So yeah, so the new homes is a big thing. The Future Home Standard that I mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
So as I say, that's around how much sort of low carbon renewable tech will go into those new homes. So we're expecting announcements on that later this year. The heat pump target. So I'd say that again, big numbers, 600,000 a year is the heat pump target.
I couldn't believe that number. Wow,
that's a big number.
That's
so the number of heat pumps being installed. It was, you know, it was record numbers last year, and it is going up year on year and you know, month on month, but it's still a heck of a long way to go to reach those targets.
Okay.
Again, EV charges, I think the number of EVs is going up, so therefore the number of EV charges that will needed will go up. So again, keep an eye out for any changes around announcements on phasing out petrol and diesel cars. So again, the dates for that seems to have shifted from 2035, it's now 2030. So, you know, sale of new petrol and diesel cars will be banned, so
yeah,
more opportunities there for installing.
Yeah, they can't. You can still buy them secondhand, but they just can't. They're not going to produce them.
Not be available brand new. And then they touched on solar PV. Again, one of the things government said was it wanted a solar revolution. So, you know, the opportunities for installing solar PV. So,
yeah, I imagine the government would like every home in the UK to have solar panels on it.
I
think, like I said, in years to come, we probably won't be far away from that.
No, homes, factories, supermarkets, car parks, all sorts of things.
Because it's a great energy provider, isn't it? It's a clean energy provider and quite low maintenance as well, generally.
So there's a lot of stuff happening. And I think, you know, one thing that NAPIP members can help with is if they get involved in those technologies, we need to take consumers along on the journey.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if somebody does a bad job, quite often you get people, you know, spouting off about it, and it quickly spreads.
Yeah.
If somebody does a good job, you tend to find that, you know, people will talk to their friends and neighbours and say, you know, this company did a great job fitting this.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it is a big change for a lot of people, especially things like, you know, heat pumps and swapping to EVs and things.
Yeah.
If the journey is smooth and the installation is smooth and, you know, people are happy with it.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier, and it means that word will, you know, if people do a good job, then the word will spread.
Yeah.
So I think that's a key thing that our members can help with. And then in terms of sort of, you know, the best way to stay informed and around what is happening, I blatant plug here, follow the NAPIP socials. You know, we're keen to sort of promote what's happening
definitely.
In and around government. I've done some articles in the CPM magazine, so there will be regular articles and updates in CPM.
Yeah, good.
And, you know, if people have got particular issues, concerns, or you know, things they would like to raise that we can feed back mm-hmm. to industry as, you know, representing the voice of industry, then, you know, get in touch and you know, by all means, we'll see if we can raise them with the relevant people.
I think that's fantastic. I think it's fantastic having someone like yourself on board at NAPIP to be able to do that for our members, to represent us in a political world. To have our voice, I think it's you do a fantastic role.
Thank you.
Really do. Well, that brings us to the end of the show today. I've really enjoyed it. Nigel, did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was good.
I think it was really good. So that brings us to the end of the show. We hope you enjoyed it. Leave us a review. Please subscribe. It really does help grow the podcast. And I'll end on my cheesy line. And until next time, stay safe, stay grounded, and keep that current flowing.